Good to be with you guys. My name is John. I'm one of four pastors here, and I'm excited to get to preach the gospel to you this morning, but also to jump into our annual missions campaign. Oh yeah, this is going to be awesome. Buckle up, we're going to have a great time. For the next 2 weeks, you can expect our sermons, the next 2 weeks, are going to be fresh inspiration for all of our personal involvement in the Great Commission. You're going to get the chance to hear updates on some of you's various missions efforts, and also you're going to hear a call to invest, specifically even to invest financially in the goals that we have to send out workers, gospel workers from here, various places, even unto the nations. 3 weeks from now, or I guess that'll be 2 weeks from now, sorry about that, will be April 13th, and we're going to have a moment during worship when there will be a pledge card in front of you, and you'll have a chance to, before the Lord and with your brothers and sisters in Christ, commit to what you want to offer to advance the cause of the Great Commission with this church, and also a chance to give financially as well. So I want to give you a heads up of what's coming up. Let me give you a few review details. We did a missions campaign last year, and some of you probably weren't here, or maybe if it's very likely that you don't remember what we talked about a year ago. So let me remind you where we were at a year ago so that you're ready for this year. Here are the big ideas we covered last year. The first thing, Christ's Great Commission compels both local and global involvement. We really tried to parse out that we don't need to compete. What's more important? Seeing somebody in Fort Collins come to Christ or seeing somebody in another country come to Christ, they're not pitted against each one other. Actually, it's really good when we're doing both simultaneously. It's really healthy. It's synergistic. So we invest locally and globally. And then that second part, last year we had a theme of doors. We have a different theme this year. But it was that idea that each one of us, not just some of us, not just the superstars, as it were, but every single individual has a unique contribution to make toward the Great Commission based on your role, your gifting, your passions. And so those things are still true even this year, even while we have a new theme. Last year we covered our Acts 1:8 update. You might remember Acts 1:8, this verse where Jesus told the first apostles that they were to wait. They were praying in an upper room. They were to wait until they received the Holy Spirit, the power, the V12 engine to be able to do the Christian life. And then they would be witnesses of Jesus to Jerusalem, the city that they were in, Judea and Samaria, which was the region they were a part of, and then to the ends of the earth. And so based on that, we've decided that we want to give you an Acts 1:8 update every year so you know what our church is doing in similar fashion. Our Jerusalem, which is our local area, our Judea, Samaria region, and ends of the earth. And so last year we covered these various things, what we're doing locally. We're still doing many of actually the same things locally, continuing to invest in the next generation, our international student ministry. We're doing the Resource Center on Fridays. And then regionally, we have our Severance Church plant. The ends of the earth, we're going to be providing. This year, I'm going to tilt the proportion more towards the end of the earth. Because there's so many updates to give there that we need to spend more time on those than we do the local and the regional. So they're still important, but we're going to give more time towards those. So what can you expect in terms of that? Well, we're going to have some updates, specifically some interviews. So today we're going to have interviews of some of our upcoming gospel workers that we want to send out. We're also going to have another set of another interview next Sunday during the sermon, which the live stream will be cut for because of the sake of the restricted location that the missionaries will be going to. But also, my goal is that each one of you will feel a sense of connection with our missionaries, with our gospel workers. I don't want you just to hear about it, but I want you to feel connected with it. So they're going to tell your stories, but next Sunday, this is going to be fun, in the lobby, we're going to have four booths set up for a chance for you to connect with these missionaries. And these aren't the booths where you come up and there's an empty table and you just have to strike up conversation. No, there's going to be three different areas of the world, three different booths that represent different areas of the world with ethnic foods, little small bites that you can come and get a taste of the world as you connect and get to meet one of these missionaries. We'll also have one booth that will be set up as a planting station. You might have noticed, I'm going to explain the theme more, but this year our theme is plant, water, grow. And we're going to go off of that harvest, agricultural, gardening theme, and you'll get to make something as a tangible reminder of what we're talking about here today. It's going to be really fun. So that's going to be next Sunday after the service, and it's your chance to be able to connect more personally with the various missionaries we have, but also the ones that aren't here in the ends of the earth. They've written letters for us, which are going to be printed out, and so you're going to be able to grab printed out letters, fresh letters from our missionaries on the field to hear what's going on. So it's probably time to get into the scripture, given enough intro. Let's get to the point. Let's get to the good stuff. Let me tell you our sermon summary, and we'll pray and open up God's word. Here's where we're going today. Effective harvesters co-labor diligently toward fulfilling the Great Commission while simultaneously remembering that God alone produces spiritual fruit. So come hear this exciting update of how we can co-labor towards some of you's Great Commission endeavors to plant the gospel seed globally. So that, let's pray, and then we're going to open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. God, it is so good to come and to be with you. It's so good to be reminded of the good news. Thank you so much for what Zeke reminded us of this morning and the whole team as we worship together, remembering that you bought us while we were dead, while we could do nothing to save ourselves. That's when you demonstrated your love and you died for us. Help that to be the motivation that we have. Help us to be refreshed in that as we think about what our role is to bring this good news all around the world to our neighbor, to the nations. This morning, we want to see what only you can do. We want to experience something supernatural. And so we just freshly give you our hearts. All of us are coming in with different things going on. There's probably a bit of coldness or hardness or callousness in many of our hearts. And so we just give those to you afresh right now and ask that you would change what motivates us, that you would fill us with love, that you would remind us of what really matters. Help us to walk out of this room differently. I pray that even during these 2 weeks, there would be new people that cross from death to life. There'd be new people that commit to living their lives to bring the gospel to new places. And that for all of us, we would hear from the Holy Spirit of how we get to be involved. Open up our eyes in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we can grab that Bible right in front of you. I encourage you to do so. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, just a short section this morning so that we have time for some interviews. It's on page 953 in your Bible in front of you. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians 3 and then starting in verse 5. Listen to God's word. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. This is God's word. Okay, a little context for this short section so we know what we're talking about here. So, Paul the Apostle is writing a letter to the first century church in the city of Corinth. That's modern day Greece. And they're a young church plant. They're really struggling. They're pretty new. And Paul was the one that really formed this church. He planted this church, you could say. The reason why they're kind of weak and struggling is that they're divided. They're divided about a number of things, but specifically about their leaders. Some of them are saying, hey, I follow this guy. He's my leader. I follow this guy. I follow this guy. And I'll tell you what, there's nothing like division in the body to slow down God's mission. We've been talking about that recent weeks. How did this church come about? Well, Paul showed up to plant the church. He first preached in the synagogues to Jews, then he started reasoning with the non-Jews, and he was busy doing the work of evangelism or church planting for months. And by the end of his time, many Corinthians had believed in Jesus for salvation on account of hearing Paul, and they were baptized. We don't know how many there were, but there was enough to be called a church, a gathering of God's people. Paul then left town to go do other business, and sometime after he left, a young zealous speaker named Apollos showed up. He came from Ephesus. Actually, the church of Ephesus had sent them with their blessing, and he arrived, and the scripture says that he greatly helped those brand new Christians in Corinth because he powerfully showed from the scriptures that the Christ is Jesus. And so the divided church members, some are saying, well, I like Paul. Remember the one that planted the church? I track with him. And others are saying, I like this new guy, Apollos. I follow him. And others were saying other things. I follow Christ. And in response to this, Paul gives this section we just read an identity reminder for the Corinthian church and to all of us. Let me show you what this important identity reminder is. I'll look at verse 5 and verse 9. He says this, what then is Apollo? What is Paul? Servants. Who are Paul and Apollos? Servants. He doesn't identify himself as savior. He doesn't identify himself as celebrity leader. No, rather both Paul and Apollos, they're servants. They're there to serve. And then look at the final verse. Look at the other identity that he gives for himself. We are God's fellow workers. Paul and Apollos, God's fellow workers, as are we. Now, the wording of this can seem a little bit confusing, especially depending on the translation you have. I'll just share this briefly. But sometimes you read the translation, you get the sense like, okay, there's this little team of people working. You got Paul, you got Apollos, and the same guy on their team, they're kind of all hugging each other, it's God. And they're all equals co-laboring together in the gospel. And that is not what the word or the context means, but it can seem that way. Rather, it's that it's the sense of being on a farm, and you have a farmer who oversees everything, and then you have the farmer's workers who are doing the work that the farmer calls. And so Paul and Apollos are not co-laborers along with God, but they are fellow workers for God in his endeavors. Maybe that doesn't sound like a big deal, but it makes a big difference. So they are harvest laborers, not the landowner. They are agriculture workers. They are not the ranchers. They are day laborers. They are not the foremen. If you've ever met someone who regularly works on a ranch, then you've likely met a hard worker. A farming life requires much discipline and grit. And Paul embraced his identity as a harvest laborer. In fact, later in scripture, he says that he worked perhaps harder than any of them, but it was the grace of God that was at work in him. So believers in Jesus, this isn't just for Paul and Apollos, it's for you and me. And so the question I have for you is, how strong is your sense of your identity as a gospel-bought laborer in the harvest? How strong is that identity when you think about who you are, a child of God, but also a harvester in God's harvest? I believe that we always live and act out of our sense of identity. We never do otherwise. And so if you struggle to be involved in the harvest that God has, I would question, how strong is your sense of identity as a laborer in the harvest, one that's been bought by the blood of Jesus? Let me give you a couple other scriptures to reiterate this fact, something that we are all to identify as laborers. Here's this one I read earlier, Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. And then he goes through the city, the region, and the ends of the earth. Before the disciples started their mission, they were waiting for the Holy Spirit to come on them. They were praying. But once the Holy Spirit came, they didn't stay in the upper room praying. That's not the only thing they did. They continued praying, but they went out and they turned the world upside down. Their whole lives were wrapped around this cause that Jesus had for them and for us, which is the harvest of souls for eternity, to bring glory to Jesus, to bringing many more to know him. Let me remind you of another famous scripture. We've got to do this one during the missions campaign. This is the resurrected Christ coming to the disciples and speaking to them after he said that all authority is his, all the authority in the cosmos belongs to Jesus Christ. And then he says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Make followers, make people who are trying to become more like Jesus, obedient to Jesus, not just here among Jerusalem, but everywhere, to all nations, all the way to a place like here, Fort Collins, the ends of the earth, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded. This instruction wasn't just for the original 11 that were there, but rather they were to command others to obey Jesus, including this command. So this applies to us. We also are harvesters. We are witnesses. We are all disciple makers. I notice, maybe you've noticed this before, others have pointed this out to me. In this command is a command not to be baptized, but to baptize. Isn't that interesting? Actually, the Great Commission doesn't command us to be baptized. It commands us to baptize others. And so Jesus wants us to be involved in the Great Commission. Let me tell you a story about the significance of this and see if it resonates with you. A number of years back, I was chatting with one of the college students. Her name is Raj. She's on the left. And she was talking about wanting to study what the scripture says about baptism with her friend Yoon. And it had been a number of weeks, even a number of months, and I hadn't heard from her about it. So I went up, I said, Roz, have you gotten to go through that Bible study with Yoon? And she said, oh, no, I haven't got to do that. I said, okay, how about the three of us, or maybe we had another, how about the four of us just sit down and let's go through the Bible study together? So we studied the scriptures, what it says about baptism, which, by the way, it does command us to be baptized also. And we were going through, we'd done the study, and then I asked the question, how about all of us just share our story of when we got baptized? So I shared mine. I was 8 years old. I remember getting dunked. It was really cold. I had my Ninja Turtle towel and all those details. We went around the circle, and then we got to Roz, and I could tell she was nervous, and her eyes were kind of going back and forth. She's like, okay, actually, I haven't really been baptized yet. And that moment stuck out to me, and it dawned on me that when we haven't obeyed Jesus, we can't call others to do the same. That's what was holding things up. Roz couldn't call her friend to be baptized because she herself hadn't yet been baptized. And so it is with us. And so I want to ask you, if you are a follower of Jesus, if you've put your faith in Jesus, his death and resurrection for your eternal life, and you haven't yet been baptized, you are stifling your harvest potential. Because when it comes time, you lead your friend to Jesus, and you haven't been baptized, what are you going to do? So it starts with us obeying first. You got to be baptized if you want to be involved in this Great Commission. You can be involved in it, but we got to obey Jesus, and we want to be genuine. And so if that's you, I want to encourage you. We are going to have a baptism class this next Sunday. Come at 8 o'clock. It's in the library, which is not down the road. It's just down the children's ministry hallway, the Summit View Kids hallway. Come at 8 o'clock. We'll have some snacks, and let's just open up the scriptures and see what it says about baptism and see if it's time to make that step of obedience and say, yes, it's time for me to be baptized, not just for you, so that you're ready to baptize somebody that you reach in the harvest. So come next Sunday, and there's the QR code. You can sign up here for the class. So anyway, back to our passage. Paul is reminding us of our identity. We are harvest laborers. We are co-laborers in God's harvest. But furthermore, from this passage, we see that we each have unique harvest roles. We each have unique gifts to offer. Remember, he said this at the beginning. I, Paul, planted. Apollos watered. Paul planted. Apollos watered. What's the difference between planting and watering? What's the whole deal with this? Well, in this case, Paul's planting signified that he was the one that started the church. He started a brand new expression of church. I think this is probably the verse where we get that idea of church planting from. He planted a brand new seed of the gospel in new believers and started gathering them together. But Apollos came later to a church that was already established, and he started watering. He used his gift to build them up, to build them up in their faith, to encourage them, to help build them up. So another way of putting this, in one sense, very broadly, is more like evangelism and discipleship. Paul was the evangelist. He led brand new people to Christ. Apollos came in and he built them up in their faith. He built up the church. So which one is more important? Which one is more valuable, planting or watering? What do you guys think? You guys are so smart. You figured this out. Yep, okay, they're both important. We need apostles, missionaries, evangelists, ones who are going to start brand new works of the gospel, see people saved. But we also need encouragers, teachers, shepherds, disciplers to build up believers. They're both important, just like local and global work together, so planting and watering work together. We see that here in this verse. He says that they are one. Doesn't mean that Paul and Apollos are the same person, but he means that their mission is the same. They're working towards the same end. The harvest coming in is accomplished both through the evangelist and through the discipler, through the apostle and through the shepherder. And so Paul says that they are one. They are both equally valuable. And so a question I have for you, church, is this. What's your gifting? What's your role in the harvest? There are more categories than planting and watering. I'll go through more next week. But which one do you tend to gravitate towards? Are you more of a planter? Do you want to start new things? You want to see new people come to Christ, go to new places? Are you more of a discipler, someone that wants to come alongside believers, care for them, build them up, teach them the faith, help them feel cared for? Which one is your role? Regardless of what your role is, you, each one of you, are essential to the fulfillment of the Great Commission. We need all of us on board, not just some of us. So stay tuned later. I'm going to give you a few practicals on planting at the end of the sermon. Let's look at our last point from this part. This is probably the most important for today. God alone produces the growth. Look at that, verse 6 and verse 7. Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. And then later on in the next verse, but only God who gives the growth. Even though Paul wasn't a gifted apostle, he started lots of new churches. Even though he was a harder worker perhaps than any, he all the while remembered that it's God alone that brings spiritual growth. There are things that we are called to do, we're called to obey, we're called to plant, we're called to water, but all the while we have to always remember only God can change lives. We are in a mission that is absolutely impossible in and of ourselves. We are so desperately dependent on the Holy Spirit for everything. And we have to remember this, not just know it as a fact, but we have to be renewed in it. I like how Jesus taught us about this in one of his parables. This is from Mark chapter 4. He told us this story. The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. And when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. The farmer scatters his seed in the field, and then he goes to sleep. He does absolutely nothing. He's completely incapacitated, totally passive, and while he's doing nothing, the seed grows by itself. It grows on autopilot. Why? Because God is the one that makes it grow. You guys have experienced this, especially if you're around a kid. You say, okay, take this little thing right here, stick it in the ground, and a couple days later, something's gonna come out. It's magical. It really is. And so it is in the kingdom of God. Just like God grows sprouts, we can't do that. You can plant it, you can water your garden, but you can't make it grow. So it is in the kingdom of God. All growth comes because of God. Just like this famous verse says, you know this one, Jesus likens himself to the vine, and he says that we are the branches. If we abide in him, we remain in him, we will bear much fruit. And he reminds us, apart from him, we can do nothing. We need God to do everything. We have a role, yes, we're involved, but God has to be the one to bring the growth because we can do nothing apart from him. Do you have stories or times when you were keenly aware that God alone was the one that was bringing the growth? Maybe seeing someone come to Christ. Maybe helping a troubled marriage that you can't change. Maybe discipling someone through really challenging things. I'm sure you have many stories. I'll tell one story that I thought of. A number of years ago, I went to a college retreat, and we brought a new student. He was an international student named Sydney, and we went up to the YMCA for a college retreat, and we kind of had planned, we're like, man, he's never really come to our small group. We've never done a Bible study, so how about we go through one of those simple Bible studies that just explains the person of Jesus, that Jesus is fully God, fully man. So we were starting with one of those, and we went into this, like, the first or second question, like, okay, do you notice that Jesus got tired and thirsty and hungry? And then he said, yeah, and didn't Jesus also die on the cross? Somebody told me that. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh my goodness, and we did nothing. I felt like, okay, I'm not driving the vehicle. My hand's not on the wheel. I'm not even on the accelerator. And I'm just watching God transform this heart right in front of me, because he's already been getting this guy ready for this moment. And all we did is we just shared the word. And he was so ready. He wanted to receive Jesus. And so he received Jesus that night. The next day we were doing baptisms. He got dunked and his life was changed. I did nothing. I did absolutely nothing. God did all the work. Do you have stories like that? Times where you can see, like, okay, God's doing this. I'm just a witness. God's doing this. Brothers and sisters, that's how it is all the time. Anytime we want to see change, not just salvation, but anytime somebody changes, totally dependent on the Holy Spirit to do it, because we can do nothing apart from him. Perhaps the best way that we can remember this, to stay in this posture, because we don't just need to know it, we need to walk in it, is prayer. You guys probably remember this. Jesus was sending out a group of disciples on a short-term mission trip. And he was telling them that the harvest, that's his metaphor for the work to be done, is plentiful. And so he said, all right, you guys are going off your mission trip. The harvest is plentiful, but the labors are few. Therefore, and I tell you what, you know how I'd fill in the blank if I didn't know the Bible? Go make some more laborers. We don't have enough labor, so go make some more. But Jesus doesn't say that. Some of you guys know this. What does he say? Okay, there's such a great need. Here's what you got to do. You're going on a mission trip. Pray. Pray for more harvest. Pray earnestly for more laborers for the harvest to be sent out. Even when they started their mission, they knew, like, okay, we're starting with dependence on God because we totally need him. We're totally outnumbered, and we can't do any of this. And so prayer is probably one of our best actions to keep ourselves reminded, like, we can't do any of this. But we want more moments like that. The one I had was just like, oh my goodness, God's doing something here, don't we? So I'm sure you guys have heard our many prayer opportunities of late, but these are a few that are on the website, a couple that you could consider. Maybe consider being a prayer partner for one of these missionaries that comes up. Say, okay, I want to pray for you. Can I get on your list? We have all of our prayer meetings on our website. Some of you, prayer. You can see those, join those ones, various ones. Or maybe consider this one, just praying faithfully for someone in your life that doesn't yet know Jesus. Pray for them faithfully, not just occasionally, but do it faithfully. These help us remember that we need him, that we're dependent on him. We could do nothing apart from him. So with that, I briefly unpacked just a short passage. Now I'm excited. We've got some interviews to do, and I'm so excited for you guys to hear the story of what's going on with these missionaries. So, with that, I am going to ask that at this point we cut the live stream broadcast. If you guys are at home, we'll see you on the other side. We'll be back soon. And once I've got a thumbs up, I'll be able to invite our missionaries up to be able to join me up here. All right, so that's just getting our feet wet. There'll be more of that next week. Be able to do in the booth. Let me tie a few things up here for the day after these encouraging interviews. And if the live stream's not on, we can bring that back on. Good to go. Okay, awesome. Great. Since we're just freshly looking at what these missionaries were talking about, things in terms of the unreached areas of the world, let me remind you a few global stats, missionary stats I gave last year that I think are still applicable as we think about missions today and we think about supporting the ones from here. So here's some that I gave last year. You probably remember this, those stats of people in the world. If the world were represented by 10 people, 1, Jesus, he's my Lord and Savior. 2, Jesus, he's a nice teacher, but I want to do my own thing. 3, Jesus, no thank you. 4, Jesus, Who's that? It kind of surprises me, it stuns me that we have so much technology that people can have, we have the internet, and yet there's still this many people in the world that really haven't heard a good story of who Jesus is in the gospel that we cherish and we've heard hundreds of times. Another stat, 3% of missionaries go to the unreached. This is probably an unfamiliar term, but it just means an area where there's very little or perhaps no presence of the church, very little disciples, not enough for it to be sustainable and keep growing and have an effect on the culture. So 3% of missionaries go to that area that probably has the greatest need. This is the number, you probably remember this. If you were to go to the average unreached area, this would be the ratio. You reaching 250,000 people by yourself. It's the equivalent of you being the only light, and you're supposed to reach all of Fort Collins and its surrounding areas. Kind of daunting. That's the average unreached area has this ratio. We want to see that changed. In terms of giving, this is global giving trends. So if we applied the global average to our local context in 2022, the median income in Fort Collins was $80,000. I don't know what it is today, but just take the numbers. Then the average Christian would give $1,600 to Christian causes, $112 a year to missionaries, and $1 a year toward the unreached. So kind of sobering to see what's going on. And then the last stat I had, the U.S. average is that 15 missionaries are sent out for every 100 churches. 15 missionaries for every 100 churches. Last year, as we look through our number of cross-cultural workers, whether international or local, it was roughly this. We had about 15 cross-cultural workers, 15 missionaries being sent by this one church. So it's like two orders of magnitude different. So all that to say, you guys are awesome. Thank you for being involved in God's mission. Yeah, praise God. That's awesome. So with these stats in mind, let me give you details for this year for the missions campaign. These are the nuts and bolts here of the finances themselves. Our goal this year is $55,000, which is the same as last year. I'm excited to see us reach it and even surpass it. Here's all the categories. You can see this on summitview.com/missions, but our different categories include our church plant, which is down there in Severance, raising money for international student missions or missionaries. You remember April, she's going to be out at the booth next week, so you can talk to her more. You've heard from four of the six that are hoping to go to the Middle East area. We'll have two more next week. We also have missionaries in Japan, Becky and Dusty, that we want to support, and also one in Central Asia, Emily. And so these are the various ones that we're hoping to raise money for. Lastly, the little box, you might not be able to see it, but it says missionary care and short-term missions. We think that caring for missionaries is essential for their long-term success. Many missionaries don't make it past just a few years, and some of it has to do with their sense of care and support from their local church. So we want to have money ready for preparatory trainings for them, unexpected urgent expenses, as well as debriefing when they come back from the field to help process what happened. We also want to have money ready for sender trips, so whether people like you or a leader could go to, on location where they're at, because that's priceless. Being with a friend, not just getting a letter in the mail, which is great, but being with people. So we want to raise money for that. And lastly, for short-term mission trips, so that if you go on a short-term mission trip with our church, we want to be able to have a pool to stipend that, to be able to offset the cost, to make it a little bit more doable. Because when you get a taste of that, you do a short-term mission trip, it really changes your life. And it opens your eyes to see more of what God's doing around the world. So that's what we're hoping to do. You might ask, how were last year's resources invested? We raised over $55,000, which is awesome. Last year, through your generosity, we were able to support 11 individuals doing cross-cultural gospel ministry. We were able to invest in preparatory plans for a future missionary rendezvous retreat. And we were able to sponsor our church plant in Severance. So that generosity went a long way. Why should you consider giving to this year's Summit View Missions campaign? I'll give you three reasons. Number one, it's an opportunity to support missions together. Instead of doing it individualistically, it's a chance to do it together. Number two, it avails resources that are readily available and effective for missionaries in a way that's different than if we all just give money individually. It makes it so we can do some of those things like, let's get you a debriefing, let's do a sender trip. And third reason, it does allow for your giving to be anonymous, which might be a pro, might be a con for you. But if that's a pro, that's a reason to do it. And I do want to reiterate that here at Summit View, we consider missions giving to be above and beyond the local church tithe. And so we believe that giving to a church should not be done out of compulsion. It should always be done cheerfully. We see that in the Old Testament law, Moses commanded a tithe to be brought in for the temple and the priest. We are not under that covenant. We are in a new covenant, a covenant of grace, a covenant that Jesus paid it all for us. And so we believe that the new covenant should cause us not to be less generous than the covenant of the law, but perhaps more generous than the covenant of the law. And so while it might be tempting for all of us to kind of spread out our giving, just kind of give to multiple nonprofits, but not the church, we see it's very fitting to put our money where we invest our relationships, our time, our service, and our mission. And so if you haven't developed that conviction or you haven't really thought about what you think about that, I highly encourage you just to talk with somebody you respect here and see their convictions, see how they've developed that. If you do decide you want to give, we encourage you not to start with missions, but start with working on just giving to your local church. And you can do that by giving online, summitview.com/give, or there's a box in the back of the room, where in the back of the lobby, where you can give. So with that, let me move towards wrapping up here. Band, I want to invite you guys up. I'm going to just do a couple of these. I'm not going to do all that I have on the screen, but I had a few ideas for you for your pledge moment coming up on April 13th. So 2 weeks from now, you're going to get a little card that looks like this combined. And during worship, you'll have a chance to fill out if you want to commit financially to giving a one-time or recurring gift towards the missions campaign, and or your personal pledge, how you want to commit with this Summit View family to advancing the cause of the Great Commission, to bringing in the harvest. So I have a number of ideas. They're all on the website that you can check out. I'm not going to go through all of these, but I'll just give you a couple ideas for what your personal pledge could look like, specifically with planting, how to bring the seed to new hearts and new places. So the question that we'll ask is there something that you want to keep doing, or is there something you need to stop doing, or something you need to start doing with regard to planting? So those are kind of the categories we're thinking about here. Here's one I want to highlight for you. I want to encourage you to consider financially giving support to a missionary. That might be through the missions campaign, or you might say, nah, I want to talk to them one-on-one. I want to give directly to them. And I want to encourage you, kind of like Paul was hinting at, when I go to the grocery store and someone's outside and they want to ask me for money, I instantly feel uncomfortable. I feel like I want to build a wall around my bank account and my life because I just feel uncomfortable. I want to encourage you to put your walls down. Don't assume that you have to give. Just do whatever Jesus wants for you to do. He might not have you give any money, and that's great. But remember, we have a stat that looks like this. So a lot of missionaries coming out of one church, and so just consider that maybe you're blessed that God would give you somebody to remind you of the Great Commission and sit down with you. Keep your heart alive for that. So consider giving, even if you're strapped, consider giving a gift of $5 or $5 a month, just something to help your heart follow. You know, Jesus says where your treasure is, there your heart will be. So consider doing that, but also consider being creative. They don't just need money, they need support. Maybe you're good at writing, and they need help with writing their newsletters. Or maybe you're good with technology and you could help them with something for a website. Maybe like the next one, you've got a lot of connections. You've got all these friends in these other churches that want to give to a missionary. Could I introduce you to them? That could be an awesome way that you could help. Here's some other ideas. I'm not going to go through all of these. I'll just highlight a couple. We've got VBS coming up in June. A couple years ago, I did VBS in a backyard, and I had the privilege of being there and get to spread the seed and see a kid pray to receive Jesus for the first time. This is an awesome way to spread the gospel. It's not just the nations, it's also our neighbors. So consider hosting a VBS coming up soon. Maybe I'll highlight one more. On Friday nights, there's a lot going on here in our building with internationals. Consider being someone who teaches others English, people that probably don't know Jesus, but just spend an hour or so teaching English or playing some sports in the gym. Great for way for you to befriend people from other places. So with that, let me wrap up with a gospel reminder and let's sing together. You remember during our worship set earlier, Zeke reminded us of Romans 5:8. God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were yet sinners, while we were dead, while we were enemies, Christ died for us. And so the gospel reminds us that all of us have no power to be able to save ourselves. Yeah, we plant, we water in the harvest, but when it comes to our salvation and when it comes to the harvest, God alone brings the growth. It only comes by grace. And so before you need to do any of this, maybe you've never received Jesus. Maybe you've never received this free gift and you need to start with that. And so I highly encourage you, Jesus came from heaven on earth to include you in the harvest, to save you, to give you eternal life. And so if that's you, remember that Jesus did all the work. God brought the growth. And so talk to the person you came with, or afterwards we can talk up here and we can understand how to do that better. So let's close remembering that gospel growth. Let's remember the gospel. Let's sing together, Nothing But the Blood, to wrap up our service.